Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, a reminder, we spent a lot of the first and second hour of the show talking about the shooting and the death of Justine Dumont, including an interview with Mayor Hodges. You can podcast that, WCCO.com/Chad. We also have been awaiting some sort of statement in front of his home, it sounds like, from the fiancé, Don. We were told by someone close to the scene that this statement and appearance may take place closer to 3, because it appeared at about 1:20 or so that everybody was ready to go. Whenever it does happen, we still will carry it. And again, any of the conversation you want to revisit, you can, WCCO.com/chat.
It's also been known and pointed out how big a news story this is in Australia. And adding to that, I was just kind of monitoring the open mics that they have outside. There's at least 2 Australian news crews there. You can hear Australian reporters talk.
Yeah, and by all accounts, multiple newspapers in Australia. This was the front page play story.
The neighbor who called, who didn't want to go on air but kind of wanted to give an update of what was happening on his block, lives a couple doors down, said that every major network is there. You know, there are faces that they are recognizing, Inside Edition, you know, NBC Nightly News, all of that, that it's just like a media circus, the whole block surrounding that house.
That's the thing when stories like that happen. I mean, you lose the love of your life, and then you're right in the middle of it when no one can be prepared for the swirl of emotions and everything that's taking place. Also, the police officer involved, right? Again, who knows what's going on there? So we were talking before, Adam, about autographs. And I said I was spoiled in some ways. Well, maybe I just need to pause there. Just because I was around my father so much and was lucky enough to meet a lot of athletes. But I don't think the autograph bug would have ever caught me. And I'm with Lindsay 100%. If you could have even a 10-second conversation, I think as an adult that would stand out. It's a different deal when you're 5 or you're 8 or 9. You know, I saw the long line, and I saw plenty of the con men out there right now.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, if you had to get an autograph, who would it be? So some of them, Babe. A couple of them, my father's. If he's signing the check, that might be better. Keith Richards. Somebody said they waited forever to get Willie Mays' autograph, and then he was such a jackass. Wonder why I'm wasting my time on it.
Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. We should get back to that story.
I have a terrible confession to make on 50,000 watts of radio.
Can I just give one or two more, and then I want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's on the – I think – is today the anniversary of Twins turning 2 triple plays? Was it Fenway, right? Gaetti, Newman, Herbeck. Somebody's saying – signed by those guys. Okay, now you are groveling and got your picture with Evander Holyfield. I was ashamed to see how you basically
groveling's a bit.
I was told
groveling.
You were
Lindsay.
I'm just going to say there's one
was lingering.
There was one high level employee here who said it was the most embarrassing moment that she's ever seen, and she's been here for 40 years. Now this is after
Susie said that.
What's that?
Susie said that.
Wow. Susie's 45 years. This is after Lou Ferrigno basically signed and posed for a picture with everybody in the building and then saw you and gave you the Heisman. So what do you want to apologize for? 50,000 watt, the flamethrower. That is WCCO.
Oh, just a confession that there may have been a time when I was a younger man that I needed a quick amount of money. And my grandfather has collected an incredible baseball collection.
You stole these?
No. We've gave them to us.
Yeah.
And these are many baseball. It's a treasure trove of signed baseballs. And I found one. I don't know what Yankee team it was, but Joe DiMaggio's signature was on the ball. And I hawked it for quick cash. And I'm sure I got raked on it.
I just said, did you steal it? And you said, no, that's what you did.
I didn't steal it.
Well, you stole
it. It was my ball to sell.
Okay, so here's my confession. My father, for years and years, had these autographed footballs. There might have been a point when we were younger and might have been drinking and might have been signing the footballs, right? Right, so it's like...
Well, I thought you were just playing with them in the river.
No,
you
know, no, no. So stuff. Fran Tarkenton, Chuck Foreman, Chad Hartman, you know, Eric Krause, you know, Jason Topp, whatever. So this is Kathleen, my wife. I think this is when we were dating, okay? And all of a sudden I go, you know, here's what we do. We sign autographs at certain times. Kathleen, instead of just signing in the smaller signature just to fit in with everybody else, just this big Kathleen at the time, Hoyas. I'm like, that's...
Did she like dot the I's with hearts?
That's not what we were kind of looking for a little bit. I had to take that football away so my father wouldn't see. He would probably hear the story right now, but he loves Commons 2 o'clock hour. So I think I'm fine to go with that. Do you have some news here that...
Well, this is just Chiefs Harto has released a statement.
Okay.
Quote, I want to acknowledge the pain and frustration that family and community members have following the fatal officer-involved shooting on Saturday night. This is clearly a tragic death. I also want to assure you that I understand why so many people have so many questions at this point. I have many of the same questions, and it is why we immediately asked for an external and independent investigation into the officer-involved shooting death. I've asked for the investigation to be expedited to provide transparency and to answer as many questions as quickly as we can.
Very good. One other text. Why don't you let them complete an investigation before you try to decide what you think happened? We haven't done that once. We've had statements or interviews from all the important people. I think the show has been very good at covering this. 15-minute conversation with the mayor. But if you think we're not going to talk about the biggest story of the day with facts and some logical reasoning, then you're foolish. And if you think at any point during the show we've said 100% this is what's happened, you're just wrong. But this is what I think some shows, if they do it the right way, can do. We're not just throwing things up against the wall. And if you don't want to have conversations like this, then you don't want to be up to breast on the biggest story in the state and a story that is international today. Adam with details right now.
And still many questions over that weekend shooting of a woman in southwest Minneapolis by a Minneapolis police officer.
One question answered, the name of the officer who pulled the trigger. The attorney for Muhammad Noor confirms the officer fired his weapon, saying in a statement, quote, "We take this seriously with great compassion for all persons touched by this." Noor joined MPD in 2015 and was the first Somali-American assigned to the 5th Precinct. He was one of two officers who responded when 40-year-old Justine DeMond called 911 to report an assault. Assistant Chief Madera Arredondo.
Our body camera usage and our equipment, every officer out there in patrol is equipped with a body camera. So, yes, they are fully activated with the body cameras in terms of their usage.
But the BCA says the body cams were not turned on. The city spent $4 million outfitting the department with body cameras specifically to deal with incidents similar to this one. Steve Simpson, WCCO.
The BCA also says this afternoon that no weapon was found on DeMond or at the scene. A teenager is found shot to death in Fridley.
Anoka County authorities investigating the death of a 17-year-old young man. Commander Paul Summer says they got a call about 1 o'clock early this morning about a person not breathing in the 7600 block of Meadow Moor Drive in Fridley. He says they found the 17-year-old dead of a gunshot wound.
You know, we would be speculating at this point to say exactly, but all indications are that the incident occurred right where he was found.
He says he wants to make it clear the attack was not random. He says they're following up on several leads, but wouldn't say much more about the circumstances surrounding the shooting. Reporting from Anoka County, Susie Jones, WCCO.
And the name of the victim in that shooting just released. We now have it. The dead teenager is identified as Mohammed Abdul Hafiz Abdukir. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions in Minnesota speaking to state and local prosecutors today. Sessions addressing an annual gathering of district attorneys from around the country in Minneapolis this afternoon. Among the topics Sessions covered was illegal immigration.
People of this country have been pleading with their leaders in Washington for decades for a lawful system of immigration that protects the national interest and one that we can be proud of, that actually works in an effective way.
Sessions has pitched a tough-on-crime mentality as President Trump's pick to lead the Department of Justice. He's ordered top federal prosecutors to pursue the strictest charges that come with the harshest possible sentences in criminal cases. 212 WCCO. For more on these and other stories, go to WCCORadio.com. Traffic and weather together now. Let's head to the WCCO Traffic Center. Here's Jerry Peterson.
We now have a confirmation that the statement from the fiance of Justine DeMond is going to take place at 3:30. Susie Jones is on the scene, and she is confirming now that the statement will take place at 3:30. And I have no idea who's in. Is it Jordana in after her? Okay, Jordana. Adam will step in, and Jordana, in some way, they will carry that press conference, for sure. I shouldn't even say a press conference. I don't think it's going to be a press conference, you, Adam. I think it's probably just going to be a statement at this point. Let me get to a couple items here. We'll try to get to a few, and then we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get to a guest on what the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, Adam had the audio that he's in town, what he might be about to do regarding marijuana. Someone over 40 should never have these nine things in their wardrobe. Okay, Carter, you ready? Nine things. Big Daddy, you ready? Ill-fitting clothes. Wait, you're 39? Is that what you're telling me? You can talk.
No, I was counting down the...
Oh, I got it. How old are you?
I've been 39 for about 12 years.
How old? You're 51?
Yeah.
Man, people, you're over 50. That's ancient.
I know.
Carter, ill-fitting clothes. How do you feel about that?
Sadly, many of my clothes are ill-fitting, unfortunately.
Lindsay, you see a guy, and the guy doesn't have clothes that fit.
Is it worse if it's too tight or too loose?
Ooh.
I guess it depends on who the
depends
person is.
Depends on the
is.
Person.
Yeah.
Say too tight.
Well, I think that when you go too big, it looks sloppy. So it kind of depends on what look you're going for.
Bare midriffs.
Yeah.
42-year-old, very fit woman. She cannot wear a bare midriff? Really?
I mean,
it depends where you're going.
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, again, this is, okay, it says, should never have these in your wardrobe. And we're not talking workout clothes, right? But
you mean like, say, a very attractive 42-year-old woman who's very in shape wearing her crop top out to Seven Sushi? Is that frowned upon?
Or a 42-year-old newsman who needs to close the yearbook and goes to Seven Sushi and wears the same thing. Hoodies. No 40-year-old. Now,
Adam Carter.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I love a hoodie.
Baseball caps worn backwards.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
You will agree with that?
Yes.
Lindsay, you're nodding. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I think men look very attractive in baseball caps. I think there is an age where if it's one thing if it's like just a couple minutes, you know, you flip it around while you're doing something. But like
I don't
around all day with a backwards cap.
The guys
who
got the backwards caps and the sunglasses, you know, it's like you're defeating the purpose of the hat by spinning it around.
It's not my go-to, but I see it in some. I think some people pull it off. So you're automatically saying if guy 40 wears the backwards hat, wrong.
Well, some people.
Well, are we talking Bradley Cooper? Or are we talking?
So
they have to be good looking. In other words, now that's what you're saying.
Well, there's always the exception to the rule, and Bradley Cooper is the exception.
Yeah. Big Daddy, you're against it also?
I've never worn a cap backwards unless I was catching.
Okay, so in other words, at no age a man is supposed to allow.
Just my opinion. They weren't made to be worn backwards.
And then I don't have the next five.
Are they blank pages?
Blank pages.
I have gone to IT about this like 8 times
blank
now.
Blank page. So we'll never know. We'll never know.
Hold
Come
on.
Up with your own, 81807. I'll tell you one.
Yeah.
Ed Hardy t-shirts. Are they still a thing? Or what's the other one? Affliction. And the bedazzled jeans. Enough of the bedazzled
the
jeans.
The bedazzled jeans?
Yes, especially on guys.
Okay. Are there a lot of guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Hold on a second. A lot of guys over 40 wearing bedazzled jeans?
Absolutely.
With that embroidery on the butt. Yeah.
The fleur-de-lis.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I think that they're slowly going out
Pete?
Of style
Is
now.
Pistol Pete
no.
wearing those?
Nope, he doesn't.
Anybody in your group wearing bedazzled jeans? There's a mutual friend of ours who's capable of doing that. I know that for sure.
Yeah. No, I can't think. I think
give us just a little bit of audio from our friend.
Who would rather that one?
No, no. Oh. Kieran.
Oh, he wears that? No way. No.
Oh, I think he could. I think he could. He thinks he's very stylish.
No, he is stylish, and those are not in style. Yeah. Those are.
Although he's not over 40. Right.
Right.
So he.
But he would not. No.
You don't think he would do it?
No, he's very fashionable. These are not fashionable.
I know.
These are. Their time has come and gone.
He's Mr. Banana Republic.
Yeah.
He would tell us every day.
He's
that
the
he's
guys
got,
with the Affliction T shirt and the jeans, you know, the bedazzled jeans.
Okay. So you can't wear a T shirt if you're over 40?
Just the.
Tight fitting, a lot of stuff on it?
No, that's fine.
Well,
how about,
Lindsay, your thoughts on Adam's shirt today?
It's a polo shirt. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's a pattern polo.
But it's got a little pattern to it. I mean, I like that shirt.
That's called heathered.
No, you don't
heathered
like this
look.
Shirt. You came in and ripped it.
I just do it just to get you going, just to try to get you mad at me.
Is it ill-fitting?
I think it fits fine.
Okay.
But I could see you looking at another guy wearing that shirt and you saying, I don't know.
So you think I would wear the shirt myself but on somebody else?
I think
say
that
no?
type of shirt you might.
No.
Letterman jackets, not for over 40s.
How about the 8-ball jacket? Remember when David Putty had the 8-ball jacket in Seinfeld? All signs point to yes. eight ball jacket.
Who's wearing a Letterman's jacket over 40? Right? It's Kinsler. It's close the yearbook. Anybody who's hanging on to their sports.
Well, we're talking their own Letterman's jacket or like one that is back in style now, you know, with the
that would be different.
Leather sleeves and the.
That would be different. But if you're still hanging on to your high school and college days and you're
no
over
chance.
40, move on.
Yeah.
How you wear a hat is not a wardrobe item. The hat itself is a wardrobe item.
I disagree.
Yeah.
What?
I very much disagree.
It's a very philosophical statement there.
There, yes, when you're looking at it like that, but say, for instance, if you compared me to even one of my sisters.
Yeah.
An item of clothing is very different when I wear it than when one of my sister wears it.
Right.
Color. Because you have to think of the cut, the fit, what is exposed, how short it is.
Yep.
And how you wear a baseball cap. I mean, that's the style. And you're not doing it for function.
Okay. So when you see a guy wearing a ball cap, are you normally in favor of it? If it's more casual, more casual.
We used to call them the white hat hotties.
The white hat hottie.
There were those hats that everyone had that had like the name of the school on them. You know, they're white and they say like U of M or Connecticut or like UConn.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
And there were those ones that were like kind of nasty and they had like the Gamecocks one. And they
That's how you could always tell the freshmen in college because the freshmen always bought that hat because they were allowed to wear that word on their head. It's Gamecocks without game.
Yeah.
And so
it's Cox.
And so that's we can say that on the air.
Sure.
Okay, I was going
to referring to the Gamecocks.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how you could always tell the freshmen they were the only ones that wore those.
Last time I checked.
I can't go into all the details, but about the tube tops. What are you saying? Gals wearing the tube tops. And do we still refer to them as tube tops?
No, it's a crop top.
That sounds better.
It's crop top, yeah. And now the trend is those long sleeve shirts with like the shoulder cutouts.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think those look very nice.
Depends on the person.
Right. Wow.
No,
so in other words,
I wouldn't wear them.
You have to be fit to wear those.
The unfortunate part about life is that not every trend looks good on every person.
That is correct.
You just pick your battles.
Yeah, that's fair. 25 past 2 on CC.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, a few more close texts. Somebody says the backwards ball cap only
or
on a motorcycle.
Or in a boat. If you're in a boat.
I see. I don't mind it. I don't want it. My wife is 57. Looks as good in a midriff as any 20-year-old. Yes, she's in perfect shape. Boils down to if you have the right look. How about we ban spandex for anybody that's even slightly overweight, regardless of age? We're going to be the spandex police?
Can't do it.
No. You cannot. It's, to me, it's up to you. If you want to wear the yoga pants, whatever it might be, and it's comfortable, and you're comfortable with how you look,
right?
People are capable of commenting about anything, okay? But to then say, we're going to decide what the weight clause is.
I've always wondered.
Good luck to you.
I'd love to. I like bicycling, and I want to get a new bicycle and start biking again. And I'm wondering, would I get to the point where, okay, I'm going to be that guy and get a bicycling outfit? And I'd like to tell myself, absolutely not. I'm never doing it. But everybody who are serious bikers have the outfits.
They do for some protection, right, in certain areas of your body.
Right, but I think they make looser fitting shorts that have the same protection.
Yes.
But you see, I mean, they're...
Oh, I can't wait to see it, Lindsay. Can't you wait to see this guy comes in with his little biking hat.
With a little hat.
And he's got all of a sudden
Quaker State.
All of a sudden he's turned into that biker that he's railed against now.
Zip it halfway down, you know?
Oh, you missed it.
Wow.
There was someone in the station on, I think, Friday morning who came in their bike
Hines.
Shorts.
John
nope.
Hines. Wasn't John Hines?
Nope.
Hinesy wears the biking
shirt. Sure.
Who?
I'll tell you off air.
Come on. I'll take the heat. Who? My father. He came down here.
It just kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting it. Paul Voller on Dave Lee. Mm-hmm. And he was like waiting to get into the studio.
Biked over from the U, maybe.
Sure.
Right? How about if you just start wearing the biking shorts even though you're not biking?
No.
Can't do that.
I have a pair of, it's a base layer that it goes down to like, here, you know, just above the ankle.
Okay.
And you wear those under shorts.
Oh, okay.
But it's like compression. But I said, if I could get away with just wearing those as pants, I would love to.
Not a clothing over 40 issue, but how about this individual with the key fob 6 times as they walk away from their car? Eye roll.
Do people still do that? Just to make sure, like, draw attention that, yes, that's my car?
I don't know. They really do that, or they're just not certain that the car's locked? Who cares at this point, right? Here's our 3 minutes of presidential politics. So the poll numbers for the president, historic low, because we're about at 6 months, right? And as bad as anybody in a long, long time. Closest one is Gerald Ford, about a half year in. And his was so much dictated by what? The decision with Nixon and to grant him the pardon. But some of the numbers that stood out, 24% feel like his behavior is fitting of a president. 70%, Carter, 70% unpresidential. That is an enormous number. Then support. Here are the three numbers. 82% of Republicans support him, 11% of Democrats, 32% of independents. I heard so much to talk about the independents today. I'm going to go to the Republicans and the Democrats. First of all, as we said off air, can you find me the 1 out of 10 Democrats right now who are looking at Donald Trump going, yeah, I'm liking what's happening so far. And then you're telling me, this is the one that I think the Trump folks are most concerned about. 1 out of every 5 Republicans now are not supporting him? That's a concerning number. And before the Democrats feel great about themselves, on Democrats, 37% believe they stand for something. 52%. You know what they stand for? Just against Trump. They better figure that out because that is a huge issue, I think, going forward. Don't you, Adam? Because the president's given plenty of material to be mad about. You can decide where you stand on it. But if you're not carving out some different ideas, and they're not radically different, it's not like the Democratic Party is going to reinvent themselves, but it's only against the president, against the president, against the president, you're not going to have the success that they think they're going to have down the line. A reminder, we're expecting a statement. We'll carry it from the fiance of Justine Dumont, who was killed Saturday night, expected to start in 1 hour. Maplewood Toyota brings you the weather. It's hot, 89, dew point 68. We're not going to get rain today, right, Adam? But it's tomorrow. They're concerned about a potential storm. So it sounds like you had a nice dinner Saturday night. I mean, did you think about, you know?
No.
Didn't even think about calling.
Nope, sorry.
Hmm. Bother you at all a couple days later that you didn't think about calling me?
Yeah, got to be honest, no.
Okay. Here's the news with the man who apparently isn't bothered at all, Adam Carter.
After delaying a vote on a proposed GOP health care bill, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell praising the legislation which undoes much of Obamacare.
It gives Americans more choices for managing their care. It also takes aim at Obamacare's taxes that target the middle class and drive up premiums. Taxes on everything from health insurance to over-the-counter medication.
So let's also add, too, that this vote is delayed because of Senator McCain and this surgery. It is pretty interesting watching a few doctors from afar. And they're saying, obviously, we don't have access to the medical records. But when some people initially are saying, okay, we're expecting Senator McCain to be back in a week and it's great, that they're a little bit more concerned about the severity of this surgery also. So our best to a man who truly is an American hero and has had a remarkable life.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer defending Donald Trump Jr., who met with a Russian lawyer last year after being promised damaging information on Hillary Clinton.
I will say that that is quite often for people who are given information during the heat of a campaign to ask what that is. That's what simply he did.
Not all of Minnesota's former governors are happy with biological plaques that went up this month next to their portraits at the recently restored state capitol. Governors Ventura and Tim Pawlenty have objected to their new biographies. Ventura says he never said the motto listed on his plaque, quote, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. Pawlenty says his biography seems to have a political bias. Former Governors Arne Carlson and Al Quie say they have some minor issues but don't plan to ask for any changes. The living former governors say they weren't consulted about the biographies, nor did they see them in advance. WCCO News Time 2:40, traffic and weather coming up later.
So it's one of those situations where we're having a phone issue here. We're hoping to talk to Justin Strickel. He is the policy director for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. We wanted to time this out with the attorney general in town. We've covered this before. The attorney general has been fairly outspoken about marijuana use multiple times before, with some pretty critical comments. And you've also had some legislation leading to the belief that in the next month or two, there might be more of a formal announcement, more of a formal press conference on where the administration will come down on some of the laws. So let's just remind you a little bit what Justin wrote here in the last couple of weeks. This was late in June. At the time, the House Appropriations Committee released their appropriations bill, which determines the funding levels for numerous federal agencies. Included in that was the Department of Justice. The bill did not include language on an amendment which limited the Justice Department from taking action against state-sanctioned medical cannabis producers, retailers, or consumers. Now, the support in the country and in Congress is very different than where the Attorney General stands. House members initially passed the amendment in 2014 as a part of a whole budget, 219-189. But the following years, on this language itself, 242 votes. 30 states now permit doctor-authorized use of medical cannabis. And an additional 16 states include statutory protections for this use. You even have the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, implying the Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions and the Trump administration is pursuing a path to undermine legal state medical marijuana programs. The testimony where the Attorney General was asked, we do have a conflict between federal law and law in some states. It's a difficult issue for parents like me who have to provide guidance to our kids. This is quoting again the Deputy Attorney General. I've talked to Chuck Rosenberg, the administrator of the DEA, and we follow the law and science. And from a legal and scientific perspective, marijuana is an unlawful drug is properly scheduled under Schedule 1, and therefore we have this conflict. His conclusion, we're responsible for enforcing the law. It's illegal, and that is the federal policy with regards to marijuana. The Obama administration, Lindsay, chose, and this upset some folks who wanted the further legalization of marijuana, to not push it at the federal level. Okay, a lot felt like because the president had been open and honest about his use, that that would happen. It didn't happen, even though it sounds like there was a push later in the administration to make some changes. But on the federal side, when states continued to include medicinal marijuana or recreational, just go ahead and ask me on air. Can you get somebody different? Okay, let's do this. Why don't we pause and we'll see if we can get somebody different. I'm with the Obama administration, and I understand that, you know, where do you stand? Because if one is listed as a Schedule I offender, but I believe the tone of the country is going the right way. It would be cruel and painful to individuals who are having success with medicinal marijuana. And to think where we're at with an opioid crisis and the number of drugs, and we're going to do something on that, and the idea on recreational marijuana, the public has stepped out in this. Recreational marijuana, in my opinion, should happen. But to me, there's too much of a feeling that it's a gateway drug, and too many people are trying to take us back to the late 50s, and I think that's a total mistake. So Jeff Streichel is camping in Minnesota, so his phone is breaking up. That happens. Lindsay, the great producer that she is pivoting, and it looks like we're going to have a different guest when we come back. So when we pause right here, it'll be a short one, then we'll come back and we'll pick up on the topic. 247, Linda's Construction Time Check. Time to install the last roof you'll ever need with GAF Asphalt Shingles. Okay, Lindsay did a great job just because our previous guest, Justin Campen, so we have from the same group, the executive director of Normal, Eric Altieri, who's good enough to join us, and as mentioned before, topic stands out for me either way, but it resonates even more with the attorney general in the area. Eric, thanks so much for coming on short notice. When do you think we might see something specific from either Sessions or Rosenstein trying to either enforce policy or change policy on either one, on medicinal marijuana or recreational marijuana?
Well, I think the first big date to watch is really around the last week of this month. The Department of Justice had put together a task force to look at a number of policies, and one of those was how the federal government should interface with states that have either legalized recreationally or medicinally. So they're expected to deliver the report around July, the week of July 21st, so just coming up here in a few days. We've seen some other of their efforts, such as the Opioid Commission, headed by Chris Christie, missed their deadline twice already. So it's possible it doesn't release right on time. But that would be our first sign of really what the Trump administration and Jeff Sessions plan to do.
Now, when they, and I mentioned this before when we were trying to track you down, but when they came out on the funding levels for the amendment, which has been in play now for 3 years, limiting the Justice Department from taking actions against state sanctions, medical cannabis producers, retailers, and consumers, and they made a change in that. Was that pretty telling also?
That was very telling, both in the letter we've seen from Jeff Sessions where he was asking Republicans in Congress to oppose this amendment that had been on the books for several years now, but also when it did come time to sign it, President Trump himself put out a signing statement alongside that marijuana provision that said basically that he, if he chose, would just use his authority to override it and ignore it. So those two things together definitely kind of give an inkling that the Trump administration and his Department of Justice are really looking at ways they can push back on the recent advances we've made in marijuana law reform. And that's why it makes it all the more important that we see Congress take action immediately to at least give states some reassurances that they won't be the target of federal incursion because they moved on medical or recreational cannabis.
So is this an issue where we're going to see a huge split, Or are we going to see enough Republicans speak out for this? Or could we even see some Democrats who are going to agree with the administration on this?
Well, by and large, what we've seen on the Democratic side is the party has come to a general consensus, certainly on medical marijuana, a growing consensus on support for legalization. So I don't think there will be many defections on that side. You may see a couple here or there when it comes to recreational. And the support from Republicans is also growing, definitely on medical. When we had the recent vote
that sure.
amendment in committee that would have allowed VA doctors to prescribe medical marijuana to their patients, folks like Lindsey Graham voted in support of it. So we're seeing some more conservative people get on board. And I think that there will be an immediate public backlash across the political ideology spectrum because we have 96% support amongst the general population for medical, about 60% for full legalization. So any attempts to intervene in these state policies would be met both politically and in the public at large with resistance.
Eric Altieri is with us, Executive Director, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana. If the Attorney General and the Deputy General cite law and say, no matter where you stand on it, that marijuana is still listed as a drug that is properly scheduled under Schedule 1, and we're just going to follow the federal law, how would you respond?
Well, certainly we would do mass mobilization at the grassroots level in terms of reaching out to state officials and federal officials to find all the ways we can push back on this, whether it's through legal challenges and the like. But it's also just a big messaging battle. And what the federal government could do would be to crack down on the commercial side of these legal marijuana entities. What they can't do is force a state to start arresting people again for simple possession. So by taking action, really what they would be doing is forcing what is currently a tax-collecting, state-approved, and regulated entity and putting all that money back into the hands of the black market that we've been trying to get that away from. So we would have to work very closely with our allies in Congress to get these amendments passed and, more importantly, get this enshrined in legislation so we don't have this tension between state and federal policy anymore, and because it's that tension and ambiguity that is giving them even the remote chance of interfering with these states.
Eric, I was looking for this quote when you gave your last answer. I'm sure I could track it down if I had a couple more minutes. But this is something Jeff Sessions has been talking about for a while. I'm trying to remember the specific insulting comment he made. I think it's about a year ago. Something about people who use marijuana and their success or something. Do you remember what the quote I'm alluding to here?
I believe maybe you're referring to when he said that people who consume marijuana aren't good people.
Yes, that is 100% right. So no, it's that is a breathtakingly insulting comment.
Incredibly insulting, particularly through our work when we meet folks who are veterans who serve this country and are
right.
using marijuana to treat their PTSD. Otherwise, law-abiding citizens who pay their tax dollars and choose to consume marijuana instead of alcohol in the evening. And these are suddenly horrible people.
Including, I'm sure, some of Jeff Sessions' friends, but he just doesn't know that.
And it's likely that he even does know that, but holds this contradictory view in his head that they're exempt for some reason. But he also had a similar quote that came out several years ago that he, quote, thought the KKK was okay until he found out they smoked marijuana, which is just a staggering thing to think. He's a pure relic of the reefer madness era. He's already talking about trying to bring back failed programs like DARE to, you know, really redouble down on the war on drugs in areas where President Obama began to, you know, work against this mass incarceration. So it is a bit troubling that this is the top law enforcement official in the land, and he doesn't seem to care about what is actually good policy or what the public wants.
And the last point, I got about 30 seconds. That's where the country has moved. Sometimes you have to reflect that.
The toothpaste isn't going back in the tube on this one. We've learned that prohibition is a failed policy. It's led to mass incarceration, the blooming black market, and we've seen through the 8 states that have legalized and the 30 states with medical that it can be regulated, it can be controlled, and it can be done so in a very responsible and safe manner.
I got to jump in, Eric. Thanks for coming on such short notice. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's a topic we'll revisit again. It would be an enormous mistake. And, I mean, just taking those two comments from Jeff Sessions and try to defend those two comments. We're done. Jordana's next. Statement from the fiance coming up here in about 30 minutes on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.